You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
For Consumer Reports says prices on prescription drugs are actually varying widely right now.
You can save a bundle by comparison shopping. Call around to both independent and chain pharmacies in your area and see which one offers the best price.
This is USA Headline News.
Musicians, Guitar Center's anniversary celebration is on right now. But Thursday through Sunday, you'll save even more. With truckloads of new gear arriving daily and just added four-day deals in every department. Get amazing anniversary deals like a Fender Squire Stratocaster or an Epiphone acoustic guitar for just $99. D'Addario acoustic guitar strings, three packs for $10. Or EV vocal mics now just $29. Guitar Center's extra anniversary savings ends this weekend. Don't miss it.
Legendary evangelist Billy Graham and his family are in mourning. Graham's son-in-law, Danny Lotz, has died. 78-year-old husband of Ann Graham Lotz was found unconscious in the swimming pool at their home in Raleigh, North Carolina, Monday. First responders restarted his heart and took him to the hospital where he died yesterday. Ann Lotz posted on her Facebook page that her husband has, quote, moved to our father's house. The couple were married 49 years and have three grown children. A nonprofit that works around the world to encourage computer recycling is urging parents to buy recycled computers for back to school this year. Patty Osterberg, the Education and Outreach Director for Sustainable Electronics Recycling International, says people often discard their computers prematurely.
The hardware is really designed to last quite a long time, but typically folks replace their computers because maybe they're running slowly, but that's typically a software issue. Those computers still have a lot of life left, so if they are thoroughly tested, completely refurbished, and then loaded with new licensed operating software, they can really be a great deal for consumers.
She says Microsoft has been involved in her group's efforts to encourage computer recycling here and around the world. She says computer manufacturers and environmental groups came up with what's called the R2 standard for responsible recycling about 10 years ago. Make sure to join us online for more special interest stories, news, and headlines at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why a guy I just made a deal with should be listening to this show if he wanted to save his business, why Subway's image has forever been tarnished, the five reasons your business needs an enemy, and I'll have a 10-step plan for dramatically attracting new customers to your business. It's Thursday, August 20th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. and glad that you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, New Jersey, in beautiful Hunterdon County, and on the national scene as well. But before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 84 degrees at 12:06. Today it'll be cloudy with thundershowers and a high of 85 degrees and a low of 71. And tonight I'll be departing for North Carolina to bring my son Colin to University of North Carolina at Charlotte, where he will start college as a freshman there next week. Tomorrow, heavy thunderstorms and showers throughout the day with a high of 83, and we'll see more humid in the evening with a low of 65 degrees. Saturday will be partly sunny with thunderstorm and a high of 81 and a low of 66. And Sunday, a thunderstorm is possible. Mostly cloudy skies throughout the day, a high of 83 and a low of 65. Taking a look at the financial markets, currently down for the third day in a row. The Dow is down 192.38 to 17,156.35. The NASDAQ down 80.07 to 4938.98. S&P 500 down 22.16 to 2057.45. Oil is up 9 cents to $41.36 per ounce. And gold is up $20.30 to $1,147.40 an ounce.
Did you bring the cavalry?
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes, I am. I just love that line. I think that's one of the classic movie lines, and in 30 or 40 years, I hope that somehow that makes it onto one of those lists at the AFI Top 100. Where have we been? Where are we going? Well, let's take a look. Currently, the 4-H Fair here in Hunterdon County is going on over at the fairgrounds, and that'll last for a few more days. So if you're looking for some great family fun, head on over there. I know the tractor pulls are happening. Whole lot going on over at the fair, so you want to make sure that you check that out. And last week, I participated in the Somerset County 4-H Fair, where myself and Russ Zaborowski are the parent leaders of the Somerset County 4-H Go-Kart Club. Had a great time with the kids. Great to see them out on the track again. I know it's been a little limiting this year due to some legal constraints and some insurance constraints, but it was great to finally get them back out on the track. And also a fun part of the fair for us is when on Friday nights the kids kind of give up their carts, and if the parents aren't like me and they can fit their tiny little butts in the kids' seats, they'll take the carts out for a couple laps around the track. So it was great to see people like Russ's wife driving the cart against her son, who I think now is a four-time overall champion. And, you know, we were kind of encouraging Donna to kind of hit that pedal on the right side of the cart just a little bit harder. She had a fairly, you know, nice pace. And to tell you that with 16 knee surgeries, I outran her down the front stretch. That's not putting it too mildly. But then when she was out there driving around with her son Ryan, I would flag him everything I could throw at him. I gave him the red flag, the black flag, the blue flag with the red stripe. I gave him a yellow flag. He kept stopping, not knowing what to do, just so I could keep his mother in front of him. So it was a good night, any way you looked at it. So it was a very good thing. Just a reminder, next Friday, not sure how this is going to impact the show. I will be doing the show next Thursday. Next Friday, I'm going to be having surgery. The doctors are not telling me when I'm coming back to work. They're not telling me when I'll be able to use the arm again. So it could be a few weeks before we get back into a regular program lineup, but we'll keep you posted on that. Construction update, Crown Trophy of Flemington. As you know, we're the lucky ones. We have the sewer line for our shopping center that runs right under our store. So for the past 3 or 4 weeks, we've been emptying everything out. Showroom, office, light production area, the back office. If it was contained in the four walls of our storefront, it is now gone. It is in the pod storage unit, or we've moved it into our warehouse with the hopes that construction was going to begin this past Monday. Of course, I get a phone call last week saying your plumber hasn't filed for any permits yet. So we finally made an emergency filing for that. Now construction can begin this coming Monday, we hope. But I have put him on notice that he's got to get going because we need to get in and out of there, or he needs to get in and out of as quickly as possible so that we can move back in. You know, it's amazing how many, no matter how many signs you put up, no matter how many newsletters you send, people come in, they see an empty showroom, they think you're out of business. So we're trying to get this resolved as quickly as possible. Jumping into the program right now, a couple stories that I definitely want to get to. And I know the folks who host the library show said that they want to hear the 10-step plan for dramatically attracting new customers to your business. So I do want to include that in today's program. But how many times on this program have I said that both you and your employees have to be very aware that, quote, image is everything? It's that old commercial with Andre Agassi about the cameras where he would look right into the lens and say, image is everything. And that anything that you or they do can be seen as a reflection of the company that they represent. Well, Jared Fogel, who's the ex-Subway pitchman, and I want to underline the word ex there, has agreed to plead guilty to child sex and pornography charges. Now, here's a guy that literally had the world by the tail. For 15 years, he was a spokesman at Subway. He's got a net worth of somewhere between $25 and $50 million, lives in a beautiful house, has a beautiful wife and two kids, and then he goes and does something incredibly stupid. So Jared Fogel, the former pitchman for Subway Sandwich Restaurants, notified the federal court on Wednesday that he would, in fact, plead guilty to sex acts with minors and distribution of child pornography. Mr. Fogel is charged with receiving and distributing sexually explicit images of minors and traveling across state lines to pay for sex with minors. He was formally apprised of the charges against him at an initial hearing in Indianapolis and then released to home detention with GPS monitoring. Jeremy Margolis, a lawyer for Mr. Fogel, said that his client's plea hearing had not yet been scheduled. But as part of the plea agreement, details of which were released by federal prosecutors hours before Mr. Fogel's court appearance, Jared is expected to pay $100,000 in restitution to each of the 14 victims, eight of whom are still minors. He is also expected to receive a sentence of 5 to 12 years in federal prison. Jared Fogel is agreeing to plead guilty to the charges filed against him today, Mr. Margolis said in a later statement. In doing so, Jared is accepting responsibility for what he has done. And more than a month ago, investigators raided Mr. Fogel's home in the suburbs of Indianapolis. His name had been associated with an earlier case related to his nonprofit organization, the Jared Foundation, which encouraged healthy eating habits in children. Russell Taylor, who's 43, the former executive director of the foundation, was charged in May with 7 counts of production and 1 count of possession of child pornography. Acting on a tip that Mr. Taylor possessed pornographic images of children, the authorities recovered over 400 videos of child pornography from computers and storage media in Mr. Taylor's home office in Indianapolis. Josh Minkler, who's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Indiana, said on Wednesday that Mr. Fogel had been involved with child pornography since 2011, and when he learned that Mr. Taylor was sexually exploiting a 14-year-old girl, Mr. Fogel did not notify the authorities. The authorities say that Mr. Fogel knew that Mr. Taylor had produced pornography of young children, including a group of 12 minors who were secretly filmed at Mr. Taylor's home. Mr. Fogel is said to have met with some of those children during social events, according to court documents. Mr. Taylor is currently in federal custody, charged under a criminal complaint before an indictment is produced. Stephen DeBroda of the U.S. Attorney's Office said on Wednesday, he said cooperating with the authorities in Mr. Taylor's case was not a part of Mr. Fogel's plea agreement. Under the terms of the agreement, Mr. Fogel faces a maximum of 12 and a half years in prison, he said, but there is no cap on how much supervision he will receive as a sex offender upon his release. The judge could also hand down a sentence of a different length based on whether the terms of the plea agreement are accepted. Mr. Fogel is also accused of using online websites to arrange for sex acts with at least 2 minors. In one instance, he traveled to the Plaza Hotel in Manhattan in 2012 to pay for sex with a 17-year-old girl. The girl recalled that he later told her that he would, quote, really make it worth her while if she set him up with someone younger. He's accused of frequently arranging his travel plans to coincide with such pursuits, which the authorities characterize as criminal conduct that began before he was involved with child pornography. Jared Fogel first appeared in ads for Subway in 2000. Now, obviously, I'm extremely shocked and disappointed by the recent developments involving Jared, Fogel's wife Katie added. My focus is exclusively on the well-being of our children. Mr. Fogel first gained national attention 15 years ago for losing more than 200 pounds in his so-called Subway diet, a regimen he devised while studying at Indiana University. I was reborn in every sense of the word, Mr. Fogel told the campus newspaper in 1999. Subway helped save my life and start over. I can't ever repay that. His story was heavily marketed by Subway, but after the July raid on Mr. Fogel's home in Zionsville, Indiana, Subway suspended its relationship with him. Subway and Jared Fogel have mutually agreed to suspend their relationship due to the current investigation, the company said in a statement at that time. Jared continues to cooperate with authorities, and he expects no actions to be forthcoming. Both Jared and Subway agree that this was the appropriate step to take. The restaurant immediately began erasing Mr. Fogel's image from its website and stores. On Wednesday, Subway issued a more forceful statement saying that the relationship had ended. Jared Fogel's actions are inexcusable and do not represent our brand's values, it said. In a news conference the same day, Douglas Carter, the superintendent of the Indiana State Police, praised a private citizen who gave a tip that led to the investigation into Mr. Fogel, which grew to involve local, state, and federal authorities. They analyzed more than 159,000 text messages, 47,000 images, and 27,000 emails during the investigation. Fame and fortune will not protect you from attacking those most vulnerable in our communities, Mr. Carter said. Somebody knows what you're doing. Someone will tell us eventually. So obviously that's horrible news with regards to Jared Fogel's actions, and hopefully the children affected can get the help needed. I don't believe that $100,000 is enough. I believe it should be much higher to pay for any counseling or anything they're going to need throughout the rest of their lives. And 12 years, to me, also not enough. Just throw him in jail and forget that he's ever even there. But there are other victims in this story, obviously Subway being one, because their reputation is now tarnished forever. Also mentioned in the story, Indiana University, and all he did was go to school there. But because they're linking him to the university, they now have to do some damage control. And the Plaza Hotel, which was also named in this scandal, also have to consider doing some kind of damage control because their name is now linked both with a pedophile and a child pornographer. So all of those organizations are going to have to come up with some way of restoring their image. I'm not sure that I would want to stay in the Plaza Hotel if that's the type of activity that's going on there. So tough news to learn about somebody who many people held in very high regard as Jared Fogel falls from grace as the former Subway pitchman. When we come back, what I learned from purchasing a machine from another business about business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next 45 minutes as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. Well, this past couple of weeks has been very interesting for myself and my son. One of our vendors, a sign supply vendor, came into the store one day, and I had been dealing with this gentleman for about the last year and a half, but now that my son runs our sign division, I thought it was time for these two to get together and develop their own relationship. So he came in and he was talking to Brandon about the various media that we use, you know, whether it's vinyl or banner material, all kinds of different things, Mylar material, etc. And They were talking for about an hour to an hour and a half. And when they were done, the gentleman mentioned that he knew of another sign store that was selling a machine similar to ours, one size larger, for about $10,000. And this machine would list at close to $30,000. So, you know, I'd asked, is it in good shape? You know, why is he getting out of business and things like that? He assured me that the machine was about 6 months newer than ours, but that the guy just didn't want to be a sign shop anymore. So we made the phone call and we talked to the gentleman. He sounded legit. And we talked with another vendor of ours called Graphics Network, and they said, before you buy the machine, have him run what they call a shot count or a print report to see how many times the machine's been used. So they did that. They sent that information over to Brandon. He sent it to Graphics Network, and the next thing you know, they're calling us up saying, you have to buy this machine. It's practically brand new, hardly been used. You really need to get this if it's at this price. So we went up to Easton on Monday, and we met with the gentleman, and he basically told us that the sign business and the screen printing business wasn't his passion. He has another business that he does involving activities at colleges and schools and things like that, and that's where he wants to focus all of his energies. So we agreed that, you know, we looked at it, we did a couple tests, and we said, we got to buy this machine. I couldn't get it out of his store fast enough. So we agreed to buy the machine. It also came with two engraving programs that had never been opened with a value of about $1,000 each. It came with a computer. It came with all their leftover media. So in computers and software and media, we probably had another, you know, $10,000 worth of material plus this machine. But what scared me was when he was talking to me about business. He goes, you know, you seem to know your way around business and you seem to like what you do. How do you find customers? Now, here's a gentleman who's been in business for many years. He's owned several businesses in the Easton area. And he's now asking me, how do I find customers? So, of course, I put on my taking care of business hat and I start talking to him. And I said, look, you know, I don't wait for business to come to me. I go out and I get it. We market constantly. You know, I told him about the first rule in business, always be promoting. And he told me flat out, he goes, yeah, I don't get that. He goes, I just, you know, kind of come in every morning and wait for the customers to come to me. The only way, as I was driving home from Easton, the only thing that came to mind was a slow, painful death. And that's how I attribute that. If you're going to open a business and you're going to just sit there and wait for people, and there are many businesses, business owners who will say to you, well, I have an ad in the Yellow Pages. I took a 1-inch ad or a 2-inch ad, and they think that's doing something for them. And now the trick question for you is, when was the last time you actually looked in the Yellow Pages? For me, I would have to say it's got to be close to 10 or 15 years. Any information I need is on my cell phone or my iPad or my computer. I am never looking. I don't even know where our phone book is in our house anymore. And then he asked me a couple other things. He goes, how do you get your customer, your employees? I see your son is wearing a shirt that says Crown Trophy. You're wearing a shirt that says Crown Trophy. Do your employees do that? And I said, yes. He goes, how do you get them to do that? And I go, I hand them a shirt. And I said, here, wear this tomorrow. But my employees are always wearing our logo. They're always representing the company, whether they're at the store, out on a delivery. And if they're wearing the shirt and they're at the shop right, you're still representing the store. Until that shirt comes off, you represent the store. Then he says, what's your policy on facial hair? And I'm like, I prefer that the women that work for me don't have any. And we all laughed and everything. But I was like, but he looked at Brandon, who had a little bit of a scruffy beard. And Brandon had just finished running the Tough Mudder on Sunday. So he's a little tired. It might even be a little hard for Brandon to raise his arm up and shave, you know, for the next couple of days, seeing how sore he is from running a Tough Mudder competition. And I said, look, we're not the New York Yankees. I can't dictate everything that my employees do. What I can do is remind them that they always represent the company, whether they're here, out on a delivery, whether they're eating dinner in a restaurant with their family, and whether you're in a shirt that has our name on it or not. If people know you work here, then you're still representing the company. And it's the old Dan Rather wrote a book many years ago with a great title called The Camera Never Blinks. Think of yourself as being on camera all the time. Could you imagine that, Russ, being on camera all the time? Great video, by the way, for Meridian Aviation that SCG produced. I loved it. It was a phenomenal piece of work. Then one of his employees came in with a kind of like a tank top shirt. It had his company name on it, but he had ripped the sleeves off. And he goes, He goes, what would you do with him? And I said, I'd tell him to go get another shirt. I said, our uniform isn't, you know, sleeveless shirts. So he goes, well, how do you do that? And I could tell what I was up against here. I was with a guy who didn't mind being, wanted to be a business owner, but didn't want to be the business owner. So I gave him one sentence that I use all the time. I said, as a manager, as an owner, you have to set the expectations, and then you have to manage those expectations. So if you tell everybody, I want you to wear a shirt with our logo on it, whether it's a polo shirt or a t-shirt or whatever, when they show up to work, they better have that shirt on. Otherwise, send them home. After a while, they're going to get the message and they're going to start, you know, doing it. Ultimately, when it comes down to is in business, whatever you want your business to be, and I don't care about the facial hair thing, but as long as it's neatly groomed, but you have to be the damn boss. And I looked at him, and I said, you don't sound like you want to be the boss. And his employee who was standing behind him was shaking her head up and down. And it was a shame because he had a great market in the Easton area. He could have made a ton of money. And, you know, he said to me, he goes, I can make $1,000 in 4 hours at one event at a college. And I looked at him and I said, with this machine that we're buying from you, I can make $4,000 in 1 hour selling a high quality sign job. And he looked at me perplexed. And I go, you see how the math just kind of twisted on you there? But he wasn't willing to market. He wasn't willing to promote. And he gave a great example. There's a hospital about three blocks away from him, and they did all new signage at the hospital. Now, typically, that's going to be done on a bid situation. So he asked the facilities manager, who he's known for 25 years, why he didn't get the work when the gentleman knew that he had a sign machine. And he said, well, first of all, you're not an approved vendor, which meant that he would have had to have filled out some kind of paperwork and gotten himself on the approved vendors list. And he goes, and also, you didn't show any interest in the job. What he wanted, what this store owner wanted, was for the hospital to come to him and give him the job. And if I had to do all the signage in a hospital that large, I would say it's probably $100,000 to $150,000 job. But he just wanted this guy to come down and give it to him because he had a shingle out that said he made signs. That's not the way business works. And you know, maybe had he been listening to this show, you know, for the past 3 years, he might have gotten that. Maybe not. I doubt it. But it just seemed odd to me that he couldn't get out of his own way, go fill out some paperwork with the hospital. Since you already have a friendly relationship with the facilities manager, you should be his go-to guy. But why aren't you asking for the work? And that's sometimes the hardest thing. You have to close the deal. You have to ask for the sale. You have to ask for the business. You have to market. You have to create that front-of-mind presence with your customers, with your potential customers. People have to know who you are, where you are, and what you do. And as far as your employees are concerned, again, it comes down to setting the expectations, managing those expectations. If you want them here at 9:30 in the morning, 9:31 is unacceptable. When I played basketball in college, our coach used to tell us, practice will begin at 3 o'clock. If you weren't on the court shooting foul shots at 2:45 in the afternoon, you were already late. So don't show up at 3:01. And that's a lesson I learned that I still carry with me to this day. So again, set the expectations, manage those expectations. This is how your employees will come to respect you more. He also started making comments about, how do I deal with black people? And I go, are we getting into a Black Lives Matter issue here? I said, I have no problems with any ethnicity. I do business with everybody. It doesn't matter whether they're Latino, Indian, Asian, blacks. It doesn't matter to me. He goes, so you have no prejudices? And I go, no, I don't. He goes, you're not afraid when a black man walks into your store? I said, should I be? I'm not afraid. You know, I said, if he gives me a reason to be afraid, I will. But I said, I treat everybody at equals. And I just couldn't figure out where this guy's head was. And maybe it's better that he is getting out of business. But it just shocked me that a person that spent so much money on a business, on equipment, just couldn't make a go of it. And I found a box sitting in the back. I said, what's in that box? And it was an unopened box filled with 4 ink cartridges for this printer that had expired 2 years earlier. Now, luckily, we called the company and we said, are these any good? And he said, all you have to do is replace the microchip and they're going to be good. So we ended up getting $600 worth of ink for about $15. But again, I just don't understand that mentality of being a business owner and not promoting your business every day. That is something that will baffle me to the day I die. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, when you're out there and you're promoting, you know, if the average for small businesses is that how'd that work? Something like 50% of small businesses will close within the first 3 years. How could we change that percentage simply by getting business owners to market themselves a little bit more? This is a question for the boys up at Success Communications. And again, I keep putting that invitation out there. I want you guys to come back. But I have a feeling that I don't want to blame the economy, and I don't want to blame the customers. I'm putting the blame squarely on the business owners that don't have a freaking clue how to market their business anymore. So I don't want to hear that businesses fail because, you know, it's the first 3 years, but if you make it to 5 years, you're going to be a success. Businesses fail because business owners suck at running their business, plain and simple. So set the expectations, manage the expectations, and then be the damn boss. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, we'll get into that 10-step plan for dramatically attracting new customers. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Former President Jimmy Carter held a news conference to discuss his cancer diagnosis. He says he will undergo treatment for melanoma.
And they did a biopsy and found that it was indeed cancer, and it was melanoma. And they had a very high suspicion then and now that the melanoma started somewhere else on my body and spread to the liver.
He also says he will cut back on his work at the Carter Center. ISIS is claiming responsibility for a massive car bomb in Cairo that wounded 29 people and blew the facades off nearby buildings.
It's hard to say what this means for the overall security situation in Cairo. Till now, most of the attacks have been focused on police, army, state security, and government buildings. Similar bomb attacks have happened in the past, usually late at night or very early in the morning, and so until now, civilian casualties have been very low.
That was AP correspondent Brian Rowan. This is USA Headline News.
There are two types of water heaters, thankless and tankless. The thankless kind work like this.
Mom, I'm throwing in a load of laundry.
Whoa, hold off on that. I'm hopping in the shower.
Is this a good time to turn on the dishwasher?
This is not a good time to turn on the dishwasher.
Brunei's tankless water heaters, on the other hand, work this way.
I'm throwing in a load of laundry.
No problem. I'm hopping in the shower.
Brunei's innovative tankless water heaters provide an endless supply of hot water whenever you need it, even for multiple tasks at the same time. Plus, they feature a space-saving design and ultra-efficient performance for monthly energy savings. So enjoy hot water that's always ready when you are.
Is this a good time to turn on the dishwasher?
Go for it.
And never discourage your children from washing dishes again. Rinnai Tankless Water Heaters, the hot way to heat water. Learn more about Rinnai's industry-leading products at www.rinnai.us. That's RINNAI.US.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I am the owner of Crown Trophy in Flemington, Jim Gonneau, with you for about another half hour as we wrap it up. But before we do, I was told by the library show that they were running back to the library so that they could hear the story we had today on the 10-step plan for dramatically attracting new customers. So not to disappoint, we're going to move that up in the schedule of stories today, and I want to make sure that they hear it, and then they're ready to get more people to sign up for the library. And the library is a business. Crown Trophy is a business. Just about everything you do. The hospital is a business. Your home is a business. This is the way I approach everything. And so it doesn't matter whether you're a volunteer organization, a nonprofit, or something like that. If you think of yourself as a business, I guarantee you, that you will be more successful. Now, it's not easy to drive a dramatic inbound lead growth. In fact, many entrepreneurs seem to think it's almost an impossible task. But what if I told you that it was a lot simpler than you think? Seeing a huge increase in inbound lead growth, essentially attracting new customers, is possible regardless of your industry. It's just a matter of making the investment of time, hard work, and dedication. Now, if you're willing to put in the effort, you can increase your company's revenue through inbound marketing. The 10 steps that I'm about to outline for you will help to propel your efforts, but the level of success you achieve, well, folks, that's entirely up to you. So if you're ready, let's jump into it. The first thing you want to do is set strategic goals. Now, everything in business starts with your overall goals. What do you want to accomplish from this dramatic inbound lead growth? Do you want to increase membership signups? Do you want higher overall revenue? Greater amount of social advocacy? These are just a few of the growth areas that can lead results for your business. So take time to clearly outline exactly what you want and how you measure whether your program has been successful. Now, the SMART principle, the way that I approach everything is using the acronym SMART: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based goals. That's going to help you define and will determine how you approach the remaining steps in this plan. Number two, you can't accomplish anything if you don't know the people that will make your goal a reality. Buyer personas give you insight into the mind of your customer. They reveal the pains, the challenges, and the obstacles that keep them up at night. Answer the questions below that I'm going to give you now to give you an idea of your audience, and this will help you as you set up your lead generation strategy, as well as once you start creating content. Now think about this when it comes to your audience. What are they like? Why are they here? What keeps them up at night? How can you solve their problems? What do you want them to do? How can you best reach them? And how might they resist? Don't ever underestimate the power of truly knowing and understanding your customers. Number three, understand your customer's journey. A strong conversion funnel requires an understanding of the buying process. So map out the most popular journeys customers take to purchase your product. When you see them visually laid out, you'll be able to identify gaps in your system. If you don't already have these types of maps, you can create them by answering a few simple questions. How do customers reach your website, for example? Is it through paid, search, or social media? Where do they go once they arrive on your website? All of these metrics are available to you through your IT providers. And what content leads them to the end conversion page? Now, if you're just starting out, make maps for each different type of customer you define during the persona building process. And I'm going to take it one step further. Sometimes you have to go old school and just ask the customer, what is it that brought them to you today? Now, for the folks at the library show, when a new person comes in, what made them come to the library? What made them get a library card? Is it a new book? Is it that they didn't want to see 50 Shades of Grey on their credit card bill so their husband wouldn't see it, but they secretly want to go get it at the library? Who knows? But once you have them, whether it's in your storefront, at your restaurant, at the library, once you have a new customer, find out what made them come to you. And then start compiling those results and making sure that you start to determine what is working for you. Number four, you also want to hire experienced, talented staff members. Now, any entrepreneur is only as good as his or her supporting team. If you want to achieve dramatic inbound lead growth, you're going to need the skills, expertise, and assistance of other trained professionals. At a minimum, you'll need people that are skilled in writing, graphic design, coding, content strategy, lead generation, social media, and email marketing. And right now I would tell you that content strategy, social media, and email marketing are probably the three most important. Obviously, you have to write well. That goes without saying. So find these team members early in the planning process, even if that means finding individuals who can cover multiple areas, and their knowledge will help you set the stage for dynamic growth. Number five, you want to do an audit of competitors' websites. Now, it's important to get an idea of what your competitors are doing with inbound marketing. When you see what they're doing right, you can plan how to replicate their success for your own brand. What kind of traffic are they acquiring? Where do they seem to get their traffic from? What keywords are they using to attract people to their sites? What external website links to their sites? This information will help you create a list of action items that'll help direct your marketing team. You also want to evaluate your own website. That's the sixth step. Once you know what your competitors are doing, see how your business measures up. A few additional questions that you can ask include, is my web design aligned with current standards? Do my pages have a clear, concise message? Can visitors quickly digest and understand the content? Does the content provide value to the personas? have I included calls to action in key areas? And another one that isn't written down but is an absolute must these days, is my site mobile friendly? The seventh step is to create workflows for lead management. You want to outline each step that website visitors will take on the path to conversion. And this is where you'll combine your knowledge of the customer journey with the conversion process on your website. You'll need a new workflow for each part of the process. The eighth step is to develop a 3-month inbound strategy. Now, once all of the above steps are in place, it's time to create a strong 3-month strategy. And I like to start people with 3 months because it's enough time to start seeing dramatic growth while not feeling too overwhelmed to execute the strategy. Everything in your inbound strategy should support the goals that you identified in step one. Number nine, identify premium content opportunities. And during the first 3 months, you'll want to build and deploy at least 4 pieces of premium content, including ebooks, white papers, case studies, and email courses. Identify the titles and purpose of your premium content. These projects will serve as the cornerstone of all the inbound marketing efforts you'll produce in the coming months. And number 10, you have to stick to your inbound marketing strategy. The biggest downfall that hinders dramatic inbound lead growth, not sticking to your planned strategy. I know what it feels like to get discouraged by a lack of results, but it's important to remember that inbound marketing is a long-term strategy, and if you let a bit of discouragement keep you from continuing with that strategy, well, you've set yourself up, and you'll never see the results. So stick with it. Success lies just beyond the point where you want to give up, and that's in just about everything in life. When we come back, we're going to step away for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 5 reasons every business needs an enemy, and I'm talking about the bigger, the better. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next 15 minutes. And then we'll throw on the rewind. You can listen to the morning show with the Big C. And don't forget, any program here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio is available to you. So if you ever want to hear what other hosts are talking about, you can go to the HunterdonChamberRadio.com webpage, click on the archive section, look up the program and date you're particularly interested in, and then listen to it at your leisure on your smartphone, iPad, MP3 player, whatever you would normally download those types of programming options for. So don't forget, if you can't hear us live, you're in a big important meeting, then check us out on the archive anytime, usually the following day. Well, there are five reasons why every business needs an enemy. And I always say, you know, the bigger the enemy, the better. You know, now, I mentioned this a couple of years ago, and I got nothing but gasps from people in the room. I was speaking in front of the Crown Trophy store owners, and we were talking about competition. And I told people, and I said it very honestly, I said, I hate my competition. And I heard, you hate your competition? Well, absolutely I hate my competition, because that means one less present under the tree for my sons at Christmas. It means one less gift for my wife on her birthday, you know, something like that. I don't want my competition making more money than I do. And a few weeks ago, I was talking with a fellow Crown Trophy franchisee, Brian Murphy from Peabody, Massachusetts, and I mentioned to him that I was the only trophy store or storefront in Hunterdon County. And he said, that's great. You have no competition. To which I replied, yes, I do. There are still a few guys that are working out of their garages or their basements, hobbyists, if you will, is what I call them. It's not really a business. They're just kind of putting trophies together and selling them. But they still take up some market share from me. He said, I would love to have no competition. I replied, Brian, even if I had no competition, I would make up a competitor in my head just so I had someone to shoot for in the morning. He laughed and he said, you know what? Knowing you, I believe you would. Now, as entrepreneurs, it's in our DNA to see every problem as a challenge. It presents an opportunity to build a business around solving the problem. It's why I get so excited and energized talking to other store owners and entrepreneurs about their businesses. However, after hearing startups discuss their new ideas or awesome business plans, I always ask the same question. Who else is in your space? And the answers are generally the same. We're unique, one of a kind, and have zero competitors. And that's why it's so great. And they couldn't be more wrong. Now, having zero competition isn't necessarily a good thing, especially when there's millions of entrepreneurs around the world focused on sniffing out potential business opportunities. So if your startup is solving such a widespread problem, why aren't others doing the same thing? Having an enemy is a good thing, and the bigger, the better. Now, if you take Periscope and Meerkat, for example, these two apps have recently exploded on the scene, providing a one-touch solution to live stream on the go from mobile devices. The apps debuted at roughly the same time, and now they're battling to be the biggest and the baddest in the industry. There's a reason that every great business has an enemy to take down, just like every great fairy tale has a villain. It makes for a great story for consumers to buy into. Apple and Uber, for example, both cast themselves against something each company felt wasn't working, PCs and taxi cabs, respectively. Enemies are good for business and for a few specific reasons, and here they are. Number one, tension. Just like competition, tension is good for business. It brings out the things that people don't want to talk about and forces the acknowledgement of any elephants in the room. When you're faced with a huge breakthrough or the wildly successful marketing campaign your competitors just launched, you have three options: to adapt, to change, or to die. Tension paves the way for creative thinking, which can lead to major market breakthroughs. The second is innovation. Now, if you're the only business in your field or industry, chances are you're more likely to get comfortable and complacent. Once that happens, innovation slows down to a crawl, and that can spell trouble or even death for a company. When you've got competition, you're constantly looking at how to one-up them and to stay ahead of them at every turn. This type of innovative racing can propel an industry forward and keep your business seen as thought leaders driving the innovation. Number three, one of my favorites, customer service. Now, if you have, say, store A and store B, and they provide the exact same products and are located on the same street, but store A has a noticeably higher amount of foot traffic coming into the store, you'd have to ask yourself why. It understands that to succeed, the store has to be 100% better than its competition at everything else, including customer service. Great customer service can be the driving factor to a business, with everything from how customers are greeted when they enter the store to how their checkout is handled. So strive to be not only the biggest in your industry, but also the best with the best customer service. Number four, credibility. Now, if you're the only company in your market, are you really solving a problem or are you just creating noise? It's a legitimate question that I wish more startup teams would ask themselves. The more competition in your industry, the better consumers view the products overall. Fitbit is a perfect example. When the popularity of wearable fitness trackers started to rise, Fitbit was right there. And sure, there were early adopters to Fitbit, but no one knew what the company was. When competition such as Nike entered the arena, Fitbit's credibility rose immensely, helping it solidify dominance in the field. It's one thing to be the first to market, and it's another to be the only in your market. The fifth principle here is focus. With hundreds to even millions of potential customers, competition in your industry allows you to focus on the right customer for your business. Think of it like this. There was a time that I would check my mail and there would be a stack of cat food and diaper coupons. Now, at the time, my kids were out of diapers and I had a dog, not a cat. The company spent thousands on a blind mass mailing campaign that not only annoyed me, but also turned me off to them completely. They lost a potential customer without even knowing it. Now, rather than spending an obscene amount in marketing to reach a broad audience, many of whom may not have a need for your business, you can focus your messaging on just the right target audience. Understanding whom your audience is and creating custom messages for them is a surefire way to build brand loyalty. You should have the biggest, baddest enemy that you can imagine in your space because you want to be the biggest and the baddest in that space. When things happen like they invariably do in business, don't get mad or even, just get ahead, especially when it comes to your enemies. And, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I came back from the Crown Trophy meeting how one gentleman kept talking about all the competitors in his market space, and he knew them down to the tenth of a mile. And he spent so much time worried about how much business those companies were getting that he wasn't out there marketing his own business. The example I gave was you have eight competitors. Let's say everybody makes $300,000 a year or sells $300,000 a year. That's $2.4 million. If you took just 10% of that away, 10% from each of those businesses, you would end up with another $240,000 in business. Would you want to do that? And he goes, well, yeah, I'd want to do that. Then when I asked the big question of how are you going to do it, that was a blank stare. So you have to not only want it, but you have to be willing to work for it. That's the key thing. Well, there are five kinds of people who can help you succeed in business as an entrepreneur, even as a manager or just as an employee. But from the sake of an entrepreneur is in many ways about achieving independence. You won't have a boss anymore. You won't have a network of supervisors and coworkers to set your schedule or monitor your success. Instead, you'll become a master of your own destiny and you'll become accountable only to yourself for your ongoing actions. That independence can also be a curse. The fact of the matter is that even though entrepreneurship is an independent act, the most successful entrepreneurs in the world only got to where they are because of the help they received from the people around them. You'll be making your own decisions and carving your own path, but if you want to be as effective, as impactful as possible, you're going to have to rely on a few types of people to help you get there. The first are mentors that you admire. Mentors are indispensable resources for entrepreneurs, especially if you're starting a business for the first time. Most business entrepreneurs have owned multiple businesses in the past and have made more mistakes and learned more lessons than you can imagine. And they're going to help you by providing advice, perspective, and guidance whenever you need it, often for nothing. They also typically have an extended network of resources and contacts that you can take advantage of when building up that infrastructure of your business. So be sure to find a mentor that you admire and trust. And if you do, he or she can guide you down the right path for years. If you struggle with finding a mentor for your business, look on social media for older entrepreneurs in your industry and in your area. You can also start attending local networking events and talking with everyone that you come across. You never know who you might meet and how they can help. Number two, you want to look for partners that you respect. Whether you're forming a partnership to run the business together or you're simply finding other businesses to join forces with, finding partners you respect is critical to increasing your chances for entrepreneurial success. With a foundation of mutual respect, business partnerships are less likely to succumb to the usual weaknesses such as bickering, manipulation, or general selfishness. Finding great partners isn't easy, but it is important if you want to maximize your potential, so don't go rushing out to find one. Take your time and then wait for the perfect fit. Number three is very important. You want to find employees that you can trust. A business can't succeed with leadership alone. You'll need to have a dedicated, reliable network of employees to help you execute the day-to-day operational responsibilities of the venture. They're going to serve as a vehicle for your directive, so you need to trust that they can accomplish the task you set out or at least communicate when they find themselves unable. To help create an environment that naturally attracts the trustworthy type of employees you need, Establish clear guidelines for your company culture and be especially critical during the interview process. Look for candidates with great personalities and genuine sincerity over candidates with a long history of accomplishment or those with an exceptional educational background. 4, you're going to want friends that you make time for. Your friends will help you through your entrepreneurial journey more than you realize, but only if you allow them to. Once you get in the thick of things as an entrepreneur, it's too easy to sacrifice your personal relationships. Working long hours and on weekends is a necessary evil at times, but it's also important to draw a line and take some time for yourself. By maintaining a healthier work-life balance, you'll enjoy your time as an entrepreneur much more, and you'll make better decisions if you're well-rested. Your friends will help ground you and make sure you don't burn yourself out. And 5, a family that supports you. Never neglect the power and importance of your family. They were there before you ever started your business, and they're there for you now, and they'll be there for you regardless of whether your company becomes a breakout success or a total failure. Don't be afraid to share your problems, your fears, your worries, and your challenges. Holding these issues in can make you even more stressed and could alienate you from your family even further. So take some regular time off and be with your family, and keep them an active part of your entrepreneurial journey. With these people by your side helping you make the right decisions and standing by you when things don't pan out, you'll be far more likely to succeed as an entrepreneur. So surround yourself with the people that you trust, love, and respect, and even if you fail, you'll be able to enjoy the journey. Currently 12:56, just wanted to remind everybody that the Flemington Corn and Tomato Festival will be held this Sunday, August 23rd. It's going to be rain or shine, and you can come out and join the festivities at the Court Street Park, located behind the historic courthouse. For ticket information, you can visit www.downtownflemington.com. This is brought to you by the Flemington Business Improvement District and the Flemington Restaurant Association. It's open to the public. VIP ticket entry is open 3 to 4 p.m. It's open to the public from 4 to 6:30 p.m. A tremendous success last year, featuring foods made of corn and tomatoes. So you're going to want to get out there by the Court Street Park and enjoy the Corn and Tomato Festival. I believe this is the second Corn and Tomato Festival, brought to you by the Flemington Business Improvement District and the Flemington Restaurant Association. Lots of news in NASCAR this week, as Matt Kenseth won last week in the Irish Hills of Michigan for the Michigan 400 at MIS. The teams are going to head to Bristol Motor Speedway this week for the Irwin Tools Night Race on Saturday. Danica Patrick will remain in NASCAR and with Stewart Haas Racing next year with a new sponsor. Nature's Bakery will be on the car for the for 28 of the 38 races next season. Clint Bowyer has been released from his contract with Michael Waltrip Racing to pursue other options for the 2016 season. This more than likely is signaling the end of MWR, as principal investor Rob Kaufman recently announced that he was taking his money over to Chip Ganassi Racing. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Royals, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. In the NFL, the preseason is underway, and the Eagles looked strong last week, so we'll have to see if they can keep that up during the regular season. A lot of people getting excited about the return of Tim Tebow, who's coming in as the number 3 quarterback, but he looked pretty darn strong in his efforts during the third and fourth quarter last weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if old Tim can, if he still has it, and can bring it to the Eagles. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for an upcoming programming topic or guest, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Every day, taking care of business. Every way, I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business. And working overtime, working out.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
It can make you awesome, and that's why Bic's on a mission to save it.
Handwriting can make me...